Good morning. I have a WhatsApper here. I saw a few, but I'll read this one. It says, I'm very supportive of the new government and I am very optimistic about our future as a nation. I'm, however, in total agreement with you regarding the vehicle licensing for the month of June. It is not reasonable after listening to previous remarks of the minister. I think any tax due after the budget should be prorated. I believe that her government is fair and some greater consideration needs to be given to this issue. And then one person said, good morning, my road tax was due on the 29th of June and I was told to still pay $1,600. Well, it is a matter that needs some further addressing. It's not something, as some previous WhatsApper said, this is not a political issue. This is a serious issue. And I think it's something that the minister should, you know, think about and consider, particularly. And I'm not saying, hear me very clearly, I'm not saying that the persons who owed in March, who didn't pay, who were driving their vehicle all along, who now want reprieve. I'm talking specifically about those persons in that bracket between the time that the removal was suggested by the minister and the time that July 1st came about. There has to be some consideration for those persons. Other persons who owe the government, who have to pay their back taxes, will pay your back taxes. I fully support the minister in that call. However, I don't support the suggestion that the person who owes on the 29th, who is paying $1,600, should have to pay $1,600 for a year tax, which ends the second day in that full year of 365 days. I definitely disagree with that position. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You are on the air.
Hello. Hi. Good morning to you.
Morning, sir.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
You sound like you're firing on all 8 cylinders and it coming through nice. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've been on point for the whole of the morning, actually, since it was on half an hour ago. But I want to mention two little tidbits that I pick up this morning through your program, and then I want to move on to my main point. But these two little tidbits is this. Let me join you in congratulating David Commersham, all right, to his post as advisor, CARICOM Matters, to the Prime Minister. I can't think of a better person to fit that bill. I think he well deserves, and I know that he would do an outstanding job because he is a regionalist at heart. So I want to join you with that, okay?
Yes.
I want to go on to the last call of the day and just pull up one thing. And his passion for agriculture. And yes, the guy have passion, right? And I like that about him. What I want he to recognize, though, that the Saint Chaffet and Kentucky and all the other fast food restaurants, they also play a major part in agriculture as well because they're by the poultry.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yes.
And if there's one thing that I would like the new government, the new minister, to look in the direction of doing, along with KFL, because they have an agriculture science department down there as well, and they got a lot of land, I think 40 acres, up here in St. Thomas, where I reside, to look at the science or the know how you can get back planting English potatoes.
Mm.
We used to do it back in the day in Barbados, where some plantations were planted.
Specifically English potatoes?
Yes, yes. And I get into a point when I say that. Because there was some mix up with the variety. I don't think we had the best variety at the time.
Okay.
But, and that is why I bring the University of KFL, that they could look through their science department to see what brand, what type most suited to grow in Barbados. Because the restaurants in Barbados that buying frozen in
potatoes.
We can also tap into that market if we could grow our own English potatoes. You see where I'm going?
I hear you. I would like to do away with the use of English potatoes all together. But
why? They're not healthy? They're not good?
They're not good in my view. My research tells me that the sweet potato is a much better potato. But English potatoes serve a purpose. They they make up a very large chunk of the starch component on a lot of restaurant menus, whether you're dealing with fritters, whether you're dealing with chips or cream potato or, you know, different things. So it serves a purpose. We do have, I actually visited a potato farm in Atlantic Canada a couple years ago. I know the name, the people who...
Atlantic Canada?
Yes. Thing Potatoes. So the name isn't coming to me right now.
Okay.
But they actually export to Barbados right now. So it would do well, if based on your suggestion, for some of our farmers to probably go visit that farm and see.
As we're looking at the import purchase bill for our own local consumption in terms of agriculture projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is one area that we could do away with a lot of the grapes and apples and plums and that too. We could do away. I'm not saying eradicate all of them, but all I'm saying that we could cut down in that area as well. All right.
I take your point. That is a creative way to reduce the import bill based on the high import component of that particular one product. Why not enter into some agreement to see how we can grow it here, and, you know, reduce the imports in that regard.
That's what I mean. And the restaurants in Barbados buy a lot of chicken. Sometimes the chicken growers run out of chicken for these people. Okay. Let me get to my main point.
Mm-hmm.
Last night while watching television, the news, of course, Minister Jordan, Colin Jordan, was speaking about
Cavendish was the name.
Pardon?
Sorry? Cavendish is the farm in Prince Edward Island. I couldn't remember the name. So, yes.
Oh, okay. Right. Minister Jordan was speaking about Spicetown and St. Peter. Look, I would use any opportunity at all, find any excuse to go down in the north. I just like the north. But I want to speak specifically to Spicetown. Spicetown today is a dead, I can't call it a city, but it's a dead, is a dead place. And
when last have you been to Spicetown?
Listen, I've been to
Spicetown. Can you answer my question, please?
Yes, I've been to Spicetown in the last 3-4 months.
So it's 3 or 4 months ago that you have been to Spicetown?
Yeah.
And prior to that?
I used to be in Spicetown fairly often.
Right, and you went there around what time and for what purpose? 80s,
that's what I'm getting to now. Through the 80s, right? Spicetown was a bubbly place full of activity.
A lot of things were existent in the 80s, though, sir.
But all I'm saying to you, and I know the question you're asking me, and I want to answer it this way. You know, after 6 o'clock, after 5 o'clock, Spicetown dead. I mean, dead as a doornail. And it need not to be that way.
Same thing in Bridgetown.
And I am saying certain parts of Bridgetown, not all.
But certain parts of Spicetown have life too. So if you're going to make that statement, go by the bar where the guys lime a drink. There's economic activity happening.
Miss Lisa Gale.
I said go by the bar, and it's more than one bar in Spicetown.
I agree.
The one closest to the hotel that is going to.
You see happening in Spicetown after 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few fellas on the sidewalk there that got a little shelter with a shed playing dominoes.
Comparing that with our major city, Bridgetown isn't much different.
I know. There's still nightlife in Bridgetown for some parts, okay? But I'm saying to you, is this. I believe that the business people, the people that own the restaurants and the bars, shoot themselves in the foot. And I will tell you why I think it's so. Because of recent times, a few tourists walk through Spicetown and do some purchases. They believe that they have arrived and they push up the price out of the locals that keep Spicetown alive, out of the locals' reaches. Okay? Right now I can't go in Spicetown, I'm not going to call the name. I can't go in Spicetown where I used to go back in the day and have a meal without paying $30 or $35 a week. You with me? And these are the things that drive people away from Spicetown. the bar's the same thing, okay? So they shoot themselves in the foot just because a few tourists on foot walk through space to do some purchasing, right? I raised this already in the same studio when you had Austin Husbands mm-hmm. and the guy from Fisherman's Pub. Representing St. Peter and Spitestown. And I agree with the minister, life won't come back to Spitestown. But you have, in my opinion, to look at the parochial season problems in Spitestown. What caused people to move away from Spitestown? The same thing happened in Baxter's Road, you know.
So what suggestion, I'll let you leave with a suggestion. What suggestion, you said revising the parochial.
It won't bring back.
We admit that, we hear that.
It won't bring back the community spirit.
How?
You know.
Wouldn't that come from Spitestongers?
Yeah, I quite agree. Because Spitestong is a very close-knit. They're very close-knit where everybody knows everybody else. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that there's enough for all that is interested in setting up something in Spitestown. But I agree it has to be a competitive nature. Mm-hmm. And I agree that people should make money. They should not work for charity. But all I'm saying to the Spitestown people is that don't try to compete with Bridgetown or Sheraton or even Warren's. Have your own unique place. I'm not saying telling Spitestown people to give away the produce. I'm not saying that at all. But when you could leave Spitestown and you could go to Sheraton or to Bridgetown or Warren's and get things either a reduced price, something is wrong, is terribly wrong happening in Spitestown.
That's interesting.
Right? And I want to say this again. Let me put in a little plug for Baxter's Road. I would like the Minister of Culture, along with the Minister or the Parliamentary Representative for Bridgetown, to come together, right, and see if they could work out a workable plan to get Baxter's Road back where it used to be. Because Oysters have done it, right? Oysters don't need no advertising, none at all. Oysters have paid whatever opportunity they had, they was given, and they run with it, and now Oysters is their brand. Baxter's Road used to be a brand.
But the businesses who ran, remember the Pink Star and the, you know, the people who ran
Pink
the businesses
Star
there.
There. Pink Star
no,
there,
no, 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 not that it is gone, but it is the loan.
No, but that's what I'm saying, Lisa.
So what you're saying is you need to be calling then on the business persons, the restauranteurs, and the other persons who ran businesses in that place to come back. But the other thing is, if people in down there, it can be difficult for me to go and set up, to go and invest money in a space and a place where people aren't coming.
Lisa, nobody was in Oysters 30 years ago.
Yeah, but
right?
No, but you can't compare Oysters with Baxter's Road.
Listen, hello. Baxter's Road used, when I was growing up as a boy,
mm-hmm.
Baxter's Road used to be named the street that don't sleep. After
I remember. I popped down there at 11 and 12 and purchased food as well.
The honest place that you can call old Baxter's Road now is the two bakeries, and Pink Star is a shame. And I want support from Mara Williams with the Baxter's Road as well. Thanks
okay.
a lot, Lisa.
Thank you, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're on the ear, sir.
Now, how are you?
Well, thanks.
I, like you, have a concern in relation to the road tax fuel levy issue. Now, my position is this. If you come with a change in a mini budget that was held on June 11th, and you've done away with the traditional way of paying your road tax, and you moved to another system where you're now taking it at the pump,
mm-hmm.
you have persons who would have fallen between that loop of June the 12th and June the 30th. Now, could this not have been... Now, we've seen where we get our mornings and hear effective last night, midnight, fuel prices have either gone up or down. Now, couldn't this be done in the same way? And couldn't the authorities make provision for persons caught in that loop to pay a prorated amount that would cover for the whatever amount, whether it's 3 weeks, 2 days, where they would not have to be, you know, asked to pay a full road tax, which by law covers you for a 12-month period. So you're asking, you're demanding that people still pay, and then to pay again at the pump because one replaces the other. So how fair is that? Now, it was very easy to make a decision on the NSRL, where it is now zero rated, even for cargo that came into this country prior to July 1st. And I heard brokers even say that they refused to clear cargo within that period until July 1st. Mm-hmm. I think these measures are harsh on law-abiding citizens. You're now criminalizing a set of persons who would have otherwise gone and paid their road tax when it was due. I fell into that category, and I am not happy at all.
I have two comments for you.
This could have been dealt with better. And now you're making provision, interestingly, but someone said that they went to the Barbados Revenue Authority this morning, and what was said yesterday by the minister seems not to have been put in place, where the officer that he said is now available at the Barbados Revenue Authority to speak with persons and to allow them to pay in installments. That seems not to be...
Well, the comment was two things, and just replying to you. The comment was that the person would be resident at the Barbados Revenue Authority, not licensing. So the comment from the gentleman at the Barbados Licensing Authority, where he said it's not in legislation. He has a point.
I heard that, yes.
He may have a point, but I would encourage the person who went to the licensing authority to head to the BRA, because the minister specifically said...
Oh, so he went to the licensing authority,
right,
and not the BRA.
Right,
oh,
specifically said that he should go to the...
Fair enough.
So that's one comment. The second comment, I can't disagree with you on the grace period between the mini budget and the
19 days.
the effective date of the new tax. I think some consideration should be given, and I believe that based on the responses from Barbadians, that the minister and the ministry and the agency that deals with this matter would look into it. I can't tell you. I'm
but
not
they should have looked
privy.
Already.
Well, I'll tell
known,
you two
they
things.
Should have known, they should have known that this was going to happen.
The imposition and the imposition of tax and its removal in Barbados for decades has been handled poorly from both administrations. Too often we have a scenario where effective July 1st, something is supposed to happen, and people turn up at the particular place and people say, well, I didn't hear about this, or we don't have the statutory instrument, or this is not finalized yet, etc. Too often the teething problems are, the public suffers because the teething problems are not properly dealt with and addressed beforehand. So that is a challenge that Barbados has faced, and we ought to really do better in our administration of tax in Barbados.
So, Lisa, what are persons who are caught in this dilemma? What is their course of action?
Well, I believe that just as we had a discussion with the acting prime minister and the requisite ministers yesterday, and this is now coming to the fore, because you know this is not even 24 hours yet after the press conference.
True.
I think there has to be a rethink on the part of those persons that fall within that specific 19-day period. Mm-hmm. I'm not speaking about people who, as I keep saying, who owe tax in advance.
Make them pay.
They have to pay.
They
really have to pay.
I am not a tax
dodger. But the persons who fall so closely between to the date of the effective date and the date that it was in, we were informed about it, I think there has to be some level of consideration. So I can't overstate it or understate it. It is something that needs to be considered, and we would call on the goodly minister to do some thinking about it, and let's get a little reaction or a response before. And because people want to know, I want to know, suppose it is me, My vehicle carries a value of $900 for, mm-hmm. For tax. Fortunately for me, my payment is in July.
You fell out of the window.
I still feel that consideration should be given for those persons who come before July 17th.
I agree with you.
And that's why I'm saying we must also care about others, not only about ourselves, and ask on behalf of those persons who fall within that just shy of 3 weeks period. When that's my thought on it for sure. I did hear some person. You have any other comments? Sorry.
But can this become a legal issue? Can you double tax me knowingly? You're double taxing me.
It's not annoying, there has to be some effective date. Think about it this way.
Mm-hmm.
But
you understand the point I made.
I hear you, and I hear about the double taxation because the tax is supposed to capture.
At the pump.
To be captured at the pump. But exactly. There has to be an end date. And that's why I'm calling for the prorated for the persons within the three-week period.
Agreed.
But there could be the thought of the guy who, and there are persons who said, my doctor, for example, who he paid his tax on June, I think it was a day before the budget. And he paid for a year. His was $1,600. So his question was,
that?
So what about me? Do I get back something? I think that would be a lost, that would be a lost cause there. But for the persons within, the ones who hadn't paid yet, who heard the comments from the minister as well as the
budget.
I think that's where the consideration should be given. But
point where he paid, there was no budget, there was no change. We heard rumors, but there was no change.
Yes.
So I feel for those persons as well, but I think it is really... You've come and foisted something on persons, law-abiding citizens, who would have otherwise gone and done the right thing. So you put people in a position where they feel aggrieved and they want to do the right thing, but they don't want to be disadvantaged by the system when better can be done. And I say that better can be done, and it's not too late to do better.
Yes, I don't think it's too late.
I've seen the authorities jump through all kind of political hoops to do things that they wanted done to facilitate certain things that they wanted done. They've jumped through hoops. They'll wake up magistrates in the dead of the night and do it.
So consideration should be given.
So consideration should be going to
Thank
be
you.
Done for law-abiding Barbadians who want to obey the law.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank
you so much. We have a WhatsApper asking for the road. Let me just read it clearly. It says, I'm calling on the representative of St. George North and the Minister of Transport and Works to please pay a site visit to the stretch of road between Chaffet Charles Road Bridge and extended down to Roberts Manufacturing to see the very bad state of that road. Urgent road repairs are needed. It's a very heavily used artery to many parts of the island. So, I mean, this is one stretch of the road. There are so many others that we know consideration has to be given to them. And I believe it is a work in progress. There has been some earmarked funds to do some work on some stretches of varying road. So we would have to wait a little longer before those capital work projects can be started. Another WhatsApper is also mentioning the point about those persons who would have called in, who would have paid in June, what about them? So I know there are persons who are going to be calling about prior to June, but my commentary speaks specifically to persons who are post the introduction of the removal of the tax. That's really where my commentary speaks. It's not about persons who just paid and then heard about the change, because unfortunately you can't ask government to give you back. I remember in 2008, after the new administration had come into office, there were some persons who had just paid the National Housing Unit for the purchase of some of their units, and the National Housing Corporation for the purchase, and then to find out that if you had reached 20 years, you would be eligible. They could not get back their hard-earned $7,000 and $6,000. They wanted it back, but the NHC said no. So understand, when something is in place, you have the full right as a law-abiding citizen to cover your statutory obligations. But if something has been changed, that's then where the consideration is being asked. This is Dr. Brass Tax. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Miss Gill.
Morning, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Okay. Miss Gill, I guess you would you are pretty much familiar with this voice on the call-in program.
Yes, and it sounds familiar.
I want to say, my name is Patrick King. I don't have the axe to grind in this country, right? But I want to make it clear, right, that I am not calling as any representative of the Barber's Labour Party, but I'm calling because of the naysayers, the calls from the naysayers that you would get this morning trying to create havoc in this country over the controversial implementation of the two taxes called the NSRL and the road tax in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, before I go there, I want to say this to you, a caller you had, who spoke about Commission's appointment. And may I take this opportunity to remind him kindly that there was a political advisor in the last administration earning $12,000, and there were consultants earning between $7,000, $8,000, and $9,000 respectively. All of which, ma'am, I have copies of their contractual arrangements in the last administration. He can challenge me if he want to do so.
So that's so normal. Most governments have consultants.
Good. So the question, Commission, let me put that aside. Because as they were questioning who got a job and who were getting in, I can get the information and bring it to the public as to who was employed, doing what, and for how much money they had. If that's the topic of the conversation they want to have, I will move on, ma'am.
I can ask you a tricky question. You ain't getting a contract?
No, I don't get any, ma'am. I ain't getting none at all.
Okay.
Now, You hit the nail on the head when you spoke directly to the affected persons after the announcement by the Minister of Finance in her mini-budget on Monday 11th of June. I spoke directly to the Minister in the Ministry of Transport Works and Communication, and that is exactly precisely what I would have said to them, that the persons who would have fell between that link are the ones that some consideration should be given for. All the other persons who are paying March and May and June and February and January should be made to pay their taxes in full going forward. That's the bottom line, ma'am. That's the bottom line. Because the calls that you can get here, right, when you query some of these guys, unless they tell you lies, right, none of them, I do not believe, fall within the May 11th when it was announced. And the ending of June before the implementation, the 1st of July. None. All them talking, you can going back as far as January and December that they pay the taxes. Don't become confused with these people. I believe that the only person should be given consideration is those persons who fell in the loop after the announcement was made. That's the bottom line. All other persons should pay their taxes. This draconian measure taxes that the ass called it that you talk about, that's a political speech that he come here with. Don't let these confuse you. Do not allow these to confuse you, right? Because if you read the book of Luke, ma'am, and I think that you're a student of the Bible, Mary and Joseph leave
Bethlehem.
Nazareth, heading to Bethany to pay their taxes. They were going to pay taxes. Caesar Augusta, you understand me? By a decree, so that the whole world should pay tax.
Not the world.
No. Everybody, yes. But the language in the
yes,
in the Bible.
Yes. Everybody.
They were heading Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, were heading to pay their taxes. So don't let me get this. Don't let me get confused in this whole issue, ma'am. The next thing I also want to speak to you about is the National Social Responsibility Levy.